Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Nonfiction, where in reality, we discuss relevant topics of the past and the present. I'm your host, The Communicator. Today we have our author spotlight with Elva Diane Green, who's written books about her dad, entertainment pioneer Eddie Green, as well as the super hit show, The Jeffersons. Welcome, Elva Green, to Nonfiction.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure, Elva, and so good to have you. You know, my first question is about your book on your father, Eddie Green. Can you give our audience a synopsis of who this man is or was, being that maybe some people haven't heard of him, and why he is so important today when we discuss entertainment history?
Okay. My father's name was Eddie Green. He came to his major fame through the radio program Duffy's Tavern back in the 1940s. I started writing the book in 1996. I actually got the idea to begin that in 1996 because my father was 30 years older than my mother. He was born in 1891, and he was born in Baltimore in the slum area, and he left home at 9 years old in order to get out of the slums. And Eddie wound up being very successful. He went through vaudeville. He was a child magician. He went to churches and whatnot and did magic tricks for people. And he pulled himself up through vaudeville, burlesque, and began to write songs and was on the stage, performed with Bill Robinson in The Hot Mikado, and made his own movies. He was also a filmmaker. And by the time he died in 1950, he was very well known. And I decided to write the book because I had a grandson who had he had learning difficulties. And he always thought that he couldn't do something, and I decided to write this book about his grandfather, my father, who was a black man born in 1891 and who became successful, and how a person can do whatever they wanted if they put in the work and they had the desire. And
wow.
And I found out after I wrote my father's biography, a lot of people, especially OTR people, old-time radio, they knew Eddie's name, but that was it. They didn't know all the other things that he had done, that he had written songs, that he was on various radio shows. And they were so glad to learn that I had written this book. And but it took me till 2016 before it published, which by then my grandson was grown. But that was the first book I've ever written. So, you know, life stepped in and research took quite a while because I found out that my father was in show business from the 1915 through 1950.
Wow.
And, and I hadn't known that exactly before. You know, my mom was only 27 or something. They were only married 5 years, and I think she was 27 when he died. So she didn't know half as much as I found out once I wrote the book.
Right, right. You know, Elva, your determination and hard work paid off, because I saw your recent tweet that the book on your dad is in the Library of Congress. What a great accomplishment. How did this come about, and how does this make you feel with all your hard work?
Well, you know, I don't know how it came about, actually. I was on my laptop doing research, probably for my other book, and I typed in my name. And, you know, people say type in your name, see what Google has on you. So I did that, and it popped up online. My book, the title of my book, Eddie Greene, The Rise of a Black, no, The Rise of an Early 1900s Black American Entertainment Pioneer, Library of Congress. And I clicked on it, and there it was. And I was just blown away, actually. But my first thought was that I'm in the Library of Congress, and so is Eddie. He made it there with his, when he was still alive, with his movies. He made four movies, five, that are mentioned in the Library of Congress. So I'm there with my father, and that was emotional. You know,
it doesn't get any better than that, Elva.
No, I'm like, I had to, of course, I called all, you know, my relatives and told them, look at me, I'm in the Library of Congress. And I think, you know, I'm the only one really that got blown away, but it's all right. It's all good. I love it.
That's right. As long as you love it, that's all that matters. You know, Elva, the last time you and I spoke, you were on the verge of having your book about the Jeffersons TV show published. How did that go, and how was the book received by the public?
Okay, Jeff. I did want to mention one thing before we leave my father, the book on
Ed. Oh, sure.
My very first interview, radio interview, was with Walden Hughes. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's on the radio, literally a radio program. And his wife sent me this message after we had our interview. And she was one of the people, she was so happy to hear about this book. And she said, what she said about the program was, we have had calls and emails from listeners telling us how much they enjoyed you, and we're feeling so good about learning about your father, his work, the culture at the time, the people in the entertainment industry who would otherwise be forgotten. And she goes on and on, but that was so, you know, she just sent it to me.
Yeah, and that had to be a moving experience. But you know what, Elva, you know, that is history. You know, I think that the book on your father should be, to me, in every library and every school in the country, so we can learn about our history, because Eddie Greene is history. We're talking about Scatman. We're talking about Bojangles. We're talking about Pig Meat Markham, Eddie Rochester Anderson, Billie Holiday. He was in all in that circle, as when you and I last spoke, you told me about that. And that's why that book about Eddie Greene is so, so important.
Exactly. And I've just sent it off to the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures. They are going to put it in the Margaret Herrick Library.
Great.
Where all the Oscar stuff is kept.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So how was the book on the Jeffersons that you wrote and published received?
Okay. The Jeffersons book came about because my publisher loved my first book so much, and he had been wanting to do a book on the Jeffersons, basically because he really loves Marla Gibbs. And so he asked me to write the book. 10 years before I got to it, he had the idea to write this book, and two other people have worked on it, but they just didn't carry it through. So whatever that had been accumulated information-wise, they sent to me. And I wrote the book using their information.
Okay.
And it didn't come out. My first attempt was sent back, and then I had to rewrite it. And what I had to learn was I had to be as informed about the Jeffersons as I was about my father. I had to do my own research and whatnot. Yeah, so I rewrote the book, and I, you know, interviewed. I started out, I was able to interview Norman Lear. He was the first person I interviewed, and it went on from there. I interviewed Berlinda Tolbert, who played Jenny, Lionel's girlfriend in the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And eventually I spoke with Marla Gibbs, who gave me a short but sweet foreword for the book. And it can, you know, the book has sold well. I'm still doing presentations. My latest one was at a place called The Breakfast Club. They meet in Griffith Park in Los Angeles.
Right.
And they meet every Wednesday. And I'm trying to think. The book was well received. I had a really, really good book signing. My first book signing was in Hollywood at Book Soup. My family was there. People from out of town were there. A young lady from Saudi Arabia was there. She just happened
wow.
to be in the bookstore. And she stopped and listened, a young lady too. And that was interesting because she had never heard of the Jeffersons until she stayed and listened to my rendition of the book. And one of the actors who starred in The Jeffersons, Ernest Hardin Jr., showed up. He surprised me in my book signing.
Really?
Yeah. You know, he was just a kid back then in 72, like all of us, I guess.
Like all of
He's
us.
He's younger than I am. Yeah. 1973, 74, something like that. He was a young man on the show. He's grown now. But he literally surprised me on purpose. And, you know, the rest of the people at the book signing, everybody got his signature, his autograph, and they got mine too. And I had people from New York call in. Yeah, and asked for signed autographs. So it went very, very well, you know, and it's still being sold in a couple of bookshops, and it is in a bookshop in Australia. Somebody actually sent me a picture. They took a picture of my book in a bookshop in Australia.
That is amazing.
And, it amazed
worldwide.
Me. Trust me.
Yeah, worldwide.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, all of these shows, the one thing I liked about these shows, and you talked about relevance. The one thing that I like is that the shows that I've written about have some connection. For instance, I'm going to go on to my next book is about Maud, the TV program.
Okay.
A couple of the writers in Maud were also writers in my father's radio show, Duffy's Tavern, back in the 1940s. Bob Schiller. He was a writer for Duffy's Tavern, and he was a writer on Maud. And I might have been a writer on the Jeffersons. But the connections, you know, we don't actually, you can't erase that. You know, people talk about cancel culture, canceling things out, but you can't erase what has happened. You know, but if you put it out there, you know, it stays. And that's what I like about writing these books. So I get a good connection, and it's relevant to what's happening today, somewhere down the line.
Uh-huh. It's the best of all worlds. So getting back to, I wanted to ask you about your conversations with Marla Gibbs when you did talk to her, who played Florence on the Jeffersons. How was that experience? Was Marla Gibbs accessible or not?
So accessible. We had a telephone number, a landline telephone number for Marla way back when they first wanted to do this book, back years ago. She still has the same exact landline phone number. She still lives in the same place that she lived in. And when I called the number, you know, it took me a while to get up the nerve to call her. I had her phone number, but, you know, like, I don't know if I want to call her. But I had to if I wanted to get some information. So
right.
I did. And she answered the phone. And I was flabbergasted because, I don't know, I thought somebody was going to answer the phone and say, Marla Gibbs residence. But she answered. Yeah, she answered her own phone. And she was, you know, I was like, this is Elva Green, blah, blah, blah. And she said, yes, and why are you calling me? And we had this conversation, and I told her what I was looking for. At that point, I wanted a foreword for the book. And she told me she, you know, she wouldn't sign anything unless she read it first because she didn't know who I was.
Right.
And then after that, she would call me. And, you know, the phone would ring, and I'd say hello, and she'd go, Elva? And I always wanted to say, yes, ma'am. You know, but she was always forthcoming. She was always accessible. And it took her a while to do the foreword. You know, it was exactly what I needed. And then I shared with her the fact that we had a connection through her agent and my father, her very first agent way back in the day, and my father. And I had a picture of her very first agent with my mother and my father. And she appreciated that. I sent her the picture. It's at UCLA. In their library. And she told me she would have liked to have come to my book signing, but she was ill that day and she couldn't make it.
Okay.
So
let's talk a little more about your latest project, which I'm excited about, a book about the TV show Maud. Now, how did this project come about? I know with the Jeffersons, it was a project that was already in the process, and you kind of like inherited it. What about this Maud project? How did this come about?
Well, again, you can blame my publisher, Ben Omart. Mr. Omart, he likes my writing. He loves my writing. He loves me. He's a very he's also a book writer himself, and he's like the best publisher I could have. He's the only publisher I've ever had, but from what I've heard from other people, Ben is the best.
Okay.
He's not pushy. Yeah. He just gives me the assignment and says, go with it. You know, do what you do. And that's what happened with Maud. Bea Arthur is his very favorite actress. And he asked me, he said he had been working, been wanting to do a book about Bea Arthur, but he'd been way too busy. And he wondered if I would take it on. And instead of doing it about Bea Arthur, we would do it about Maud, her,
right,
her story. Okay, and that's where he discovered her, I believe. And so I said yes. And this has been the hardest book to write. I knew the Maud sitcom. I used to watch it. I wasn't as into Maud as I might have been into the Jeffersons or
right.
as I was into my
right.
own father. So, and writing a book about Bea Arthur as Bea Arthur and Bea Arthur as Maud has been, well, it's been, I have to say, I use the word difficult because it's taken me a couple of years now just to do my first rough draft. But what I found out is that Bea Arthur is so much more than Maud.
Right.
You know,
but she's on
right.
Broadway and other shows, right?
Yes, exactly. And I was able to speak with people who actually met her and were in her home and saw her at home. And, you know, I got some inside information that people never heard about. you know, things about that I'm like, oh, I wonder if I should put that in the book.
Wow.
But, you know, talking.
Put it in. I want to read it. I'm sure the public wants to read it too, because you know, Elva, many, many people loved Bea Arthur and were in awe of her talent. Like, she was on Broadway, made movies, made films. She started, Maud actually was, from what I understand, a spinoff from her character on the show All in the Family. Do you remember that?
I didn't see that, but I found it out as I've been researching, yes. So, yes, I've seen the episodes. And last night, I just finished my section on Bill Macy. And he also, Bill was also introduced first through All in the Family as Walter Finley, Maud's husband.
Okay.
Another thing, the connection thing. I actually found a YouTube video of Bea Arthur and Madame. Remember that puppet? Madame?
Yes. Now, I go back to the Ed Sullivan Show, and I believe she was on the Ed Sullivan Show a couple of times.
Exactly. P. Arthur and Madame sang my father's 1917 very first song, Another Connection, A Good Man is Hard to Find.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah. Now, so, you know, that blew me away.
But Elma, isn't there another connection with Carol Burnett as well?
Yes. My publisher saw a program that Carol Burnett put on. She did a spoof on Maude. Her show was called, her episode was called Broad, B-R-O-A-D. Yeah, because that's how that was Maude. So I contacted Carol Burnett online, and I received a message back from her saying, you know, why she did the Broad episode and how she received a call
from
B. Arthur. Yeah, it was. It took a while to get a call, you know, a message back from Carol Burnett, but she's still very relevant today. People
Yes, she is.
They are, yeah. So, you know, that's, I'm just honored to be doing this and to be able to get in touch with these people, you know,
yes.
Especially the man who wrote the theme song for Maude, Mr. Alan Bergman. He's probably 100 years old right now, but he is still with us. He and his wife wrote the theme song, and it was interesting talking with him. You know, these are people who I would never expect to even be able. I wouldn't even think they would, you know, even talk to me on the phone. You know, it's like, who's Elva Green?
But they did.
They did. And I learned that people, they still want to talk about what they have accomplished also. You know, it's not, so that's good. It's good for them, and it's good for me, and, you know, it makes for a better book as far as I'm concerned.
That's a win-win situation, exactly. You know, Elva, I'd like to get back to your inspirational father, Eddie Green. And, you know, like we discussed earlier, he's really not as known today as back then. But is there a way that younger people, even myself, even anybody, can see any of his work online? Is the radio program online? Is any of his films online?
Duffy's Tavern is online on most old-time radio stations.
Okay.
You have to search for them. They're on the internetarchive.com also.
Yes,
that's
big.
Yeah, but you basically have to search for them. Not all of the episodes are online, but like I say, you have to know what you're looking for. But Duffy's Tavern is online. He was also in Amos and Andy, the Amos and Andy radio show, and some of those are online. Not all of them. A couple of them, my mother was in after Eddie died. I didn't learn that until a couple of years ago.
Wow.
Her name, yeah, Norma Green. She was on two of the Amos and Andy radio show programs. One of Eddie's movies so far is on YouTube and on the Internet Archive. And the title is Mr. Adams Bomb, B-O-M-B.
Okay.
It's a short, and it stars Eddie. Eddie wrote it, produced it, directed it, and starred in it. And he did the same with his four other movies. They are not online. We have not been able to find any of his other movies. But I do still have people looking. I even have, when Eddie was making movies, he was working in New Jersey, which is where Hollywood started before
Began.
It became
yes.
Hollywood.
Fort Lee, New Jersey, correct.
Right. So there's a museum there, and the people who run the museum are helping me to look for some of these old-time movies. And
great.
They also have a copy of my book. The book is at the New York Library, the Schomburg Center for, I forget the whole title.
Yeah, I know the Schomburg well. It's very famous out here in New York.
Okay, yeah. A copy of the book is there. There's a portrait collection there of Eddie Greene with people like Maria Cole, Clarence Muse in these photos. The book is also at the Los Angeles Central Library and a few other libraries here in California, so it can be checked out. I've given presentations where children have been in the room and have learned about the book because I think it makes, you know, it makes for a good educational source.
Yes, it does.
But getting it into schools is a bit difficult. That's where I've had the most problem. So getting it into libraries is good. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. So, you know, Elva, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. In closing, let's discuss the impact of social media. I know you have a presence on Twitter. Has being on these platforms helped you in the marketing and sales of your books, or is it more beneficial just for networking?
Sales. I have had people from world and different parts of the country contact me through social media to get copies of the book. But sales are more, you know, that's more, the marketing aspect is, so you have to be more intense if you want to make sales. People get on social media, they want to see pictures. You know, they want information. They want tidbits from the book. So I can get a lot of followers, but I may not sell a lot of books that way.
Right.
Unless I show them, you know, that book over and over and over, then that takes away from getting to know more people. So, and it also
And then it may take
away
from your writing as well, correct?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. It takes away from my research time and my writing. So, book signings, book presentations, getting my book into bookstores is better at selling the book. But social media is better for me at learning, you know, at getting to the people and getting them out the information. And, you know, I also had to learn, you know, what to put online to draw the people in that I want to, you know, that are interested in what I'm talking about.
Yes. Right.
And
right.
Yeah. Because
yeah,
social media has gotten they've gotten such a bad rap, you know, Twitter and Facebook, and but it depends on where you go. Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't like TikTok. I tried it. It's too juvenile for me. you know, you have to be like really silly or really crazy, or I don't know. I'm crazy, but
yeah, there's a lot of crazy,
not that crazy.
crazy videos and stuff on TikTok. And matter
yeah.
of fact, a whole nother story is that I understand the government is trying to ban TikTok, you know, because
yes.
of certain aspects of security. So that's
yes.
another story for another time. But
yes.
you've been listening to a new and exciting concept in podcasting called nonfiction. My guest has been the very inspirational author, Elva Diane Green, who can be followed on Twitter at ElvaGreen123. And Green is spelled G-R-E-E-N. Thank you so much, Elva, for coming on the show.
Oh, and thank you so much for having me back. I really enjoyed this.
I always enjoy talking to you. Three times is a charm.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of
okay.
your Sunday, okay? All right, then. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.